The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
Do a little quick review. What I'm sharing with you are the standard words that introduce the doing of a mitzvah. Let's call it the performing of our divine mission. Baruch atah means may you be abundantly manifest. And Jewish tradition teaches that our goal in life and our fulfillment in life is to, in every way, what we think, what we say, and what we do, make God abundantly manifest in the world. And I must clarify, of course, when we say make God abundantly manifest, the presence of the ultimate is here right this very second, in this very place. We're not increasing God, we're increasing our sense of, our awareness, our experience of the presence of God. And then yesterday we further clarified, what do we really mean when we say God, the presence of who do we want to feel in our lives every day? And although I certainly didn't exhaust this topic, but one aspect of it is we want to feel a connection to the absolute, ultimate reality that embraces all and fills all, Adonai, the Master Self, the Ultimate Self, who mysteriously is Eloheinu, our God, who relates to me and us personally, and yet nonetheless is, so to speak, the sovereignty of the universe. So whereby, I remember I was when I was on the Larry King show, and Deepak Chopra was on the show, and Larry starts the show off saying, Deepak, what's your definition of God? And Deepak surely had more experience being on that show than I did, and very, very well versed, and he said, the ultimate realm of possibilities. In this, and he went into this whole very metaphysical kind of description of divinity. Then Larry turned to me and said, Rabbi, is he judging us? Like, that's my rap, right? That's my fault. The rabbi, right? So I said, no, Larry, God is loving us. And there was this kind of like, ooh. I was a very kind of, they were surprised by my answer. He then turned to Marianne Williamson and he said, Marianne, what does God mean to you? Oh, I agree with the rabbi. Love. God is about love. And then the whole show went in this direction about God is about love. When we got to the, you know, the whole time I'm feeling really horrible because I am blowing this royally. I'm saying nothing of any intelligence, and they tell me that I'm looking into this metal box with this, you know, lens, and it's, and I see this wire go into the wall to 60 million people, right? And I'm feeling, my gosh, what a chilul Hashem, what a total desecration of God. David Aaron is such a jerk. He's saying nothing of intelligence or inspiration. And I'm feeling really rotten. And we're only like, you know, like 6, 7, 10 minutes into the show. Finally, we get to the commercial, and Deepak turns to me and says, Rabbi, I love your answers. And I'm thinking, what did I say? I didn't say anything. And then Larry says, Rabbi, you're doing great. That's fantastic what you're sharing. And I'm thinking, I haven't said anything of intelligence. And I thought about it, and I said, you know what must have been really surprising to them? That I, a rabbi, said that the ultimate realm of infinite possibilities loves me, loves you. So Baruch Atah Hashem. Hashem is the realm of infinite possibilities. If Judaism only had Yud Kei Vav Kei, it would be Buddhism. And if Judaism only had Elohim, it would probably be Christianity. But Judaism has two words that, in a very strange way, are conflicting. An ultimate realm of possibilities, and yet one that becomes manifest in a very individual, personal, caring, loving way to each and every one of us. So that's what I want. And so when I do a mitzvah, I'm acknowledging, because when I do a mitzvah, I'm saying, God cares about the details in my life. That's so empowering to believe that and to embody that. But now we come to the last part of this. Because how do we really do this? How do we ultimately accomplish the Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam? How do we truly succeed in making ourselves mindful and conscious, allowing for that God making himself known to me in my life? It's a Sher Kidishanu B'Mitzvotav. It's you who have Kidishanu, let's say, sanctified us, made us holy through your commandments. This word Kedusha is the key word of Judaism. What does it mean to be Kadosh? And the English word that they have borrowed with hopes that it approximates this Hebrew word is holy. But as I mentioned the other day, who says there's any word in any other language that approximates words in other languages? Right? Why is that an assumption? That we can find a word in another language that correlates to a word in it? Maybe, you know, I understand that the Eskimos have something like 52 different words for snow. Right? You know, I don't know what they are, but there's perhaps Gabaguba, Baba Duba, then the Gigi Gaga. I don't know, right? So imagine you're up there and it's snowing, and you say, wow, it's snowing. And he looks at you like, you call that snow? What does Kedusha mean? An Eskimo, he's got like 52 different words for what we would call snow, right? So I'm going to give you a couple of words that aren't going to cut it, but at least hopefully point us to what does it mean to live a life of Kedusha. And I think I honestly want to live a life of Kedusha. And the life of Kedusha, you know, so many times you hear a person say, well, I'm a good person. Isn't that enough? For who? I mean, what, enough for what? Right? For me, it's not enough for me that I would be a good person. I want to be more than a good person. I want to be a holy person. I want to be Kadosh. But what's the difference? So one of my students said to me that his father was the most ethical person he'd ever met in his life. And he does not believe that if his father would have lived a Torah life, he would have been any better a person. So I asked him, do you think he would have been a holier person? And he was kind of taken aback by that question. And he said, well, what is holiness? What does that mean? See, there's a confusion that people have that they think that we have come into this world to be good. And that's only part of why we came into this world. Jewish tradition says we have come into this world to be holy. Now, you can't be holy without being good. But you could be good without being holy. What does kadosh mean? So I am fascinated with the meaning of words. And I find that sometimes people talk, say words, but really haven't thought about what those words really mean, and we end up having meaningless discussions because we say noises that are familiar. But what do those words mean? So I always share, you know, words are noises. So the noise, water, it's just a noise, right? Now we English speakers have decided that that noise, water, is this stuff, right? Now, you could open up a dictionary and you will find the noise, water, in a dictionary, and next to it will be a bunch of different noises, which will hopefully get us to realize that when we say the noise, water, we don't look at this, we don't look at those little creatures walking, and we don't look at this green stuff on the ground, but we look at that, right? Or we look at this, right? And we know that that noise points to that. But that's only the beginning. But what gives the noise, water, meaning? It's this. Right? The noise doesn't give this meaning. This, whatever this is, I don't know what it is, but when I see it, I make the noise water. In Hebrew, I make the noise mayim. Right? But it's this that gives that noise its meaning. But how meaningful is that noise if this I only seen in a book? How more meaningful it would be if this I could actually see with my eyes. And how even more meaningful it would be if this I was able to touch with my hands. And even more meaningful if this I could drink. And even more meaningful if I could this drink on a day that I was so parched. And this on a day that's so hot, which is not today, right? That I can drink and jump in that lake. Ah, now when I make the noise, water, wow. So now we have a noise, kadosh. And we've decided to make another noise that has a more English familiarity to it, holy. But I want to try and give you a definition in words of kadosh. But I also would like to try and point you to the experience of what the noise kadosh is experientially about. So the first thing I did is I wondered, why do people think that the word kadosh means holy? What does holy mean? So I looked in the dictionary, holy. And it's amazing. It's so perfect. The word holy means dedication or dedicated to the service of God. That's one, I don't remember, was Webster, Oxford, I don't remember which, but it was a dictionary, one of those famous dictionaries. Holy means dedicated to the service of God. Another dictionary said holy means belonging to God or coming from God. And you know what? Well, then that's a pretty good word, because that does approximate what kadosh means. The word kadosh is used in Hebrew to mean to dedicate. Right? If a person takes something and they are makdish it, they sanctify it towards the use in the temple, that means that they are dedicating, they're specifying that this is going to be used only for the purpose of the temple, the service of God in the temple. That's what it means, lahakdish. right? It means to dedicate. If a person donates money to the building of a wing of a hospital, you walk there into in Israel, you'll see a plaque that says, which is referred to as a hakdasha, dedicated to, right, the honor of my dear parents. Lakdish means to dedicate in service of the One, God, the ultimate. Adonai Eloheinu. The life of Judaism revolves around a life that focuses on consistently finding ways to dedicate what I do in the service of God. Now, how that sounds to you totally depends on what God means to you. Because dedicating my life to the service of God could sound horrible, or dedicating myself to the life to the service of God could sound awesome, depending on who God is for you. Well, so for many years it felt to me horrible, until thank God I was taught the deeper teachings of Judaism, and now it is the dream of all my dreams, just to always be serving God. But you see, if you think that God is a being floating in outer space in heaven over there, then serving God means that you're giving up who you are to fulfill His needs. It feels diminishing. It feels like it's a life of just surrender, disempowering. And if that's the kind of God you believe in, then most probably you won't be interested in a life dedicated to the service of God, because it will feel like it will be about giving up who you are. And you deep inside know that you cannot come into this world and give up who you are. I heard one philosopher say, only you can be you. And I would add, you owe it to all of us to be you, because we're not going to find you anywhere else. So very often people are afraid of religion in general, but I'm only interested personally in talking about Judaism, Judaism specifically, that it's going to rob me of myself. Because there's this big God over there that wants me to do what He wants me to do. And what if I don't want to do what He wants me to do? I better do it because He'll step on me. You know, I often share, when I was a teenager, I went to an underground film called Bambi Meets Godzilla. It's not a long film. And basically it starts off with Bambi grazing in a field. There's this beautiful music in the background. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 up, squash! See this huge foot of Godzilla step on Bambi, and that's the end of the film. And then you have about 20 minutes of credits. Bambi's makeup by. You know, Godzilla's toenails by. And it goes on and on and on. And then I wondered about, why is that monster called Godzilla? What a name, eh? Godzilla. I think a lot of people think that they go to shul to meet Godzilla. The God is some angry, vengeful deity who's out to get you. I always say the joke about Calvin and Hobbes. And Hobbes turns to Calvin and says, Calvin, do you believe in God? And Calvin says, well, somebody's out to get me. It's very telling, very important comic. So, if you think God is some being floating over there, and He wants you to do what He wants, then the life of service is total self-diminishing. But there's no such God. There's no God floating in outer space in heaven somewhere. Judaism and its deeper teachings reveals to us, when we're ready to understand this, as a child I don't know if they could tell me this, that God is the universal self, the ultimate self. You see, what's self-evident to me is that I am not self-evident. I didn't have to exist. I didn't give birth to myself. I don't sustain myself. And I'm not the master of my life. Although I do play a role, right, what I'm going to do with my life, but as I mentioned yesterday, I can't turn my life off and on at will. I can't even turn my will off and on at will. The truth is, you have no free choice in free choice. Did you get that? You have to make a choice. What you choose is your choice, but that you choose, you have to. I am not the master of will. Where's will coming from? So when the Jewish people stood at Sinai, who did they meet? The first words they heard is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's very often translated as, I am God, your God, who took you out of Egypt. But maybe it should have been translated, I is God, your God, who took you out of Egypt. Now, what would be the difference other than poor grammar? Right? Because the I, the ultimate I, the source of all our little I's, is who we call God. So I know that I'm not the beginning and end of my consciousness. And I know that I'm not the beginning and end of my life. Well, then who is the beginning and end of consciousness? Whoever that is who I call God. I know I'm not the master of life because I can't turn it on and off at will. Well, then who is the master of life? Whoever that is involved with me right this very second. And for me to be aware of that is so fulfilling, so expanding, and just bottom line, true. So all I try to do in my life, and all Judaism seeks to help us do in our lives, is to become aware of how connected we are to a reality greater than ourselves. And to serve the ultimate self is analogous to my hands serving me. Imagine I command my hands to pick up this water, and my hands say, who are you to tell me what to do? Right? Well, okay, you want to be cut off from me and go see what you'll do then? I mean, what are you talking about? This is your fulfillment to be a hand. Right? The Kabbalah says something really awesome. It says that in the beginning all of existence was endless light. And light is a metaphor for soul, for consciousness, for mind. So reality, let's say, is endless mind, but mind is not impersonal. Mind is conscious. And when the endless one wanted to create the universe, he withdrew himself, made a space for this universe, and created in this universe, this space, kalim, vessels. He then gave over, in a condensed, concentrated way, himself to these vessels. But the vessels broke. Now, why did the vessels break? You see, the word in Hebrew is kli. And I would suggest that these vessels had the wrong definition of what kli means. The word kli can be translated into container. This is called a kli. It holds water. But the word kli can also be translated into instrument or tool. And now you have to decide, what are you? You are a kli. Does that mean you're a container and you're meant to hold whatever you're given? Or does that mean you're an instrument, a tool, and you're meant to be a vehicle for some greater reality to work through you? The philosopher Nietzsche, who is known for saying God is dead, it's written on the walls of bathrooms, right? You see it in the bathrooms. God is dead, Nietzsche. And underneath it, Nietzsche is dead, God. Although Nietzsche said God is dead, what he's not so famous for is another saying, that unless you feel an ultimate whole working through you, your life has no meaning. Now, who is this ultimate whole working through you? I am not sure that Nietzsche was an atheist. I believe that Nietzsche when he said God is dead, he meant the persona God is dead, the God who's floating in outer space, the God that Hobbes and Calvin are talking about, who's out to get me. But that there is an infinite whole that holds us all together, a universal self that each and every one of us is an aspect of, an expression of. See, to me, serving God is what I'm doing right now. Because if I right now can serve to be an instrument, a tool, a channel for God's wisdom, then I am fulfilled. And think about the word fulfilled. You are full filled. You are filled with the full. When a person is full of themselves, they are not fulfilled. They are really empty. But when a person is filled with the full, but who's the full? Whoever the full is what I call Hashem. And I want to be fulfilled. And the way I become fulfilled is by being a servant. That's all I want to be in my life, is to be in service. Imagine you were a vending machine, and somebody, some guy walks up to you and slaps on you a sign that says, out of service. And all the other machines are looking at you. There's the Coke machine, and everybody's going up to him, and he's delivering Coke to the world. And there's that sandwich machine, and everybody is coming up there, and he is serving, and he's bringing sandwiches into the world. And here you are, with this sign, out of service, and you're a good humor ice cream machine. And this is not a laughing matter. Because you just can't serve. It's all and only about service. When a person says to me, Rabbi, that was a great class, I say, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem means, may God be manifest even more. It's not about me. And those books are not mine. Although I'll sign them later if you'd like. It's about being in service of a self much greater than my particular self. A self that I'm connected to right this very second, otherwise it wouldn't be alive. It is not me that is enabling me to do this. Because I don't know how I do this. But it is the spirit of Hashem, whatever word you use. Some great, I would say, some great someone. But Hashem is not a someone. You're a someone. You're some of a one. But who's the one? I'm not the one. Right? And you're not the one. But each and every one of us is a someone of that one. Whoever, you know? So I couldn't be speaking if there wasn't a Shem. Because I don't know how to speak. I don't even know how I don't know how this happened. This is not my wisdom. I'm tapping and you're tapping into a wisdom that is a universal wisdom. And when I feel this incredible love that so pours out of my heart, and I say to my wife, I give you my love. It's not my love. I invented love. I instilled within people the need for it. I taught people to recognize it. Well, if I didn't and you didn't, who did? Whoever that is. Baruch Hashem. May he, she be abundantly manifest in my life. May I do and say and think whatever it takes to be in service. So why did those vessels break? I believe those vessels broke because they thought they were containers. They thought they were meant to hold the Spirit of God and be gods on their own, when they were really meant to be tools and instruments, channels for the Spirit of God, and not hold God, but be in service and pass God on to others. So that's what a Shir Kiddush Hashem means. Baruch Atah. May you be abundantly manifest, ultimate, universal self, ultimate, timeless reality, who is concentrated into my and our God, who is truly the sovereign of the universe, because I'm not the ruler, ruling power, and has empowered me to be holy. You have sanctified me. You have empowered me to dedicate my life in service of being a tool, an instrument, a channel for an ultimate self. And that's one level of Asher Kiddishanu. So I would translate the blessing as, may you, ultimate reality, our personal God, be abundantly manifest through the empowering truth that you have sanctified me through giving me something that I can do for you, a mitzvah. That's holy. But the path of service, the challenge of the path of service, of truly living an existence that's plugged into a super self, a transpersonal self, a universal self, means sometimes sacrificing what I as an individual want to discover what I as part of a universal self really wants. See, the life of mitzvah is not giving up what you want. It's actually discovering what you want from a much deeper place of who you are as an expression of the One. And therefore, you see, animals are not holy because an animal is thirsty and you put a cup of water in front of that animal will necessarily, impulsively, instinctively drink that water. But if you put water in front of a human being and they are thirsty, they may not drink it because it's Yom Kippur. And therefore, they take in consideration, their choices take in consideration not only their savage animal self that certainly wants to drink it, but their connection to a higher self, an ultimate self, a self that we're all plugged into, that has asked me not to drink it. That is a moment of service. That is a moment of fulfillment. Now, how could giving up what I want be fulfilling? Because I'm not giving up what I want. I'm giving up what I want on one level to tap into something that I really would want on a much higher level. So the funny thing about the service of God is it's totally self-serving. Do you get that? Isn't that the mystery of love? Love is selflessly selfish. Being selfless for you is the most selfish thing I could do, because I feel so good about myself when I'm willing to give up sometimes what I want to do what you want. It's a strange thing how much you get when you give up, sometimes, in the name of love. So, that's what's so amazing about this. I'm not altruistic. I'm totally selfish. Nietzsche's critique of ethics was it could never work because people are self-serving. You're asking people to give up what they want. It'll never work. Morality is doomed to bankruptcy. Judaism teaches, no, you don't get it, Nietzsche. Right? It's totally self-serving. I feel so much better about myself when I acknowledge the truth that myself is part of a greater self, an ultimate self. And therefore, when I seem to be sacrificing what I at this moment want for my personal gratification, in the consideration of the connection I have with the ultimate self, something happens, not immediately sometimes, but over time, and I feel connected to a greater reality. So it's a funny thing. Here I thought that service of God is selfless, and then I suddenly discover how what I'm really doing is giving up my animal self to affirm my sacred self. And therefore, I don't feel disempowered. I actually feel incredibly empowered. That's a sheer kiddushanu. I would suggest that we translate it, not only you who have sanctified us, you who have made us holy, you who have empowered us to dedicate our lives in service of our supreme self, you, who we are only an aspect of. But I would suggest we also translate it as you who has transformed us. What does it mean to be transformed? This form, and then there is... Look at that guy go. There is form, and there is transform. God is transformed beyond all form. So many of us are so formed. We are so formed in our patterns of behavior. We're so formed in our shtick, in our automatic responses. But when we are transformed in the service of God, we realize that we can make choices and we don't have to do it the way we always did it. To me, that's part of the therapy, what I would call mitzvah therapy, Torah therapy. It's actually releasing me from my animal self, which has animal-like or robotic-like patterns, to tap into a sacred self in service of an ultimate self, whereby I can make free choices. So this is the life of Kadosh. To be good is nice, but are you being good because you just feel good about being good, which is definitely good, right? But the soul will not find deep satisfaction in that. Because if you were a finger, and you didn't know you were a finger, and you somehow got confused and thought you'd like to go out on the road and do a little solo, you say, see you later, thumb. Be nice hanging with your pinky. But I gotta fulfill my potential. I gotta do my thing. I want self-actualization. You guys have to understand, I'm the index finger. So I gotta go out and do my thing. And Dave, it's been nice. Like, I don't always like what you do with your finger. Like, I don't want to be a finger anymore. But so I gotta go out there and find myself. So he cuts himself off from my hand and lies on the floor. And he's no longer a finger. Because he's no longer functioning. Well, our soul is not self-defined. We are an aspect of a greater self, and we know it. We long to belong to some greater self. One of my most spiritual experiences before I kind of did a retake on Judaism was when I used to go to rock concerts. I'm not talking about the drugs. But I was doing rock concerts. My favorite moment was when everybody in the stadium would take a match and just hold it up. There's something so confirming about that. There was something so deep and satisfying about that. And you so much want to be one of the thousands that are holding a match. And you, excuse me, can I have a match? You feel like, I want to be a nerd. I don't want a match. Right? And suddenly you get it and you feel so good. Why would you feel so good being a little match? Because you know you're part of a huge fire. And that's what gives your light so much intensity. And as you're standing there feeling so good, as the flame is coming closer and closer to your fingers, you realize they all have lighters. Idiot. Right? Now they take their cell phones. That is so anticlimactic. But then again, we're all connected, you know? So, it's so powerful. This is what we're all yearning for, to get on the web. Because we are in the web. We're only trying to find a lifestyle that confirms what we know inside. That's like the word for profane or secular is chol, which also means sand. Because the secular life, Judaism says, makes you feel like a grain of sand. I don't want to be just a grain of sand. I want to be part of some huge picture. So therefore, when people talk about self-actualization, and then they equate that to, so I got to do my own thing, then there's a confusion of what self-actualization is. The self is an aspect of an ultimate self. So I need some lifestyle, some way, some constant reminder. If you were a radio, and someone was using you as a paperweight, wouldn't you feel horrible? They never plug you in. You never get a chance to let Celine sink through you. I mean, wow, if I'd be a radio, I would love Celine to sink through me. Right? It would be Coley Shaw, it would be a problem, but right? But now imagine, finally, someone gets what I'm all about. Because I just want to be useful. And you're taking me and you're making me into a paperweight. So suddenly some kid realizes, Daddy, what is this? Oh, that's my old radio, worthless. I'm worthless, I'm not worthless, I'm really a good radio. Plug me in, please. Right? The little kid plugs you in. And suddenly you're so excited. And out from you come. And you go, oh man, kid, do me, please do me. Right? Well, suddenly the 13-year-old shows up and says, oh, this is making a horrible sound. So it's tuning you. Right? And tunes you into, like today, 13,000 people were killed in a tornado, and go, oh, please turn me to, tune me to something, a higher message right now, please. And finally, someone tunes you in, 613 on the dial, right? And suddenly you become a receiver for just eternal wisdom, love. And you feel so good, you feel so plugged in, you feel so useful, you feel so in service. And then suddenly your ego tries to convince you that you are actually a singer and that you're not a radio and that these are your songs and that you can actually go out there without being plugged in to the higher power force. That's ego that tries to convince us that we are independent, self-sufficient, self-defined beings. But to me, and I'm just sharing, to me, it's self-evident that I am not self-evident, that I didn't have to exist. To me, it is self-evident that I'm not the whole picture. To me, it's self-evident that I didn't give birth to myself. And to me, it is self-evident that I am not the beginning of love and I am not the end of love. And when people talk about making love, you don't make love. You can only tap into the love that is already. And pray that you be a channel for God's love, God's compassion, God's truth, God's wisdom. Baruch Atah. May you be abundantly manifest. You absolute, ultimate, timeless reality, who's manifest as personal, caring, our God, you who run the show, you who has sanctified me, empowered me to dedicate myself to be who I am, a channel, a tool, an instrument in service of the ultimate. You who has transformed me, has empowered me to plug into that which is beyond form, enables me to serve, to be expressed in many forms. To serve or not to serve? That is the question. Have a safe trip home.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.